Yeah, I started something about that time. But I always like to start with, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's you. Have you come this morning in the name of the Lord? Well, I have come in the name of the Lord also. And together, we're going to glorify his name, and I'm praying that God will open your heart and your spirit. And even though you have heard some of the stuff I'm relating to today, just know that he has a word in that for you, just especially for you. So grab onto it when you hear it. And I already heard a word this morning, and the pastor already talked about that, and it's reconciliation is the word. And so somehow I believe that's going to come out in my sermon this morning. You can't hear? What's she saying? Oh. No, it's on. Oh, can you crank it a little bit for him there? Okay. And so I started with Hebrews chapter 5, and we're just going to look at that for a second, okay? And it's called spiritual maturity. Now, I'm just going to read this for you a second, but I'm reading from a different version. Is it on the screen? No, it's there it is. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. And my version, it says the oracles of God. And the oracles of God are the things that God speaks. It is not something that man is teaching you, but it's the word of God coming from the scripture and that you need to know. And I think one of the problems with the people today is why they leave the church is they are not grounded. Their roots haven't been taken a place so they can really know what the word says. So I taught you'll see in a few minutes here. So it says there some. So you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God, God's word, all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Okay, so we're actually talking about elementary stuff. This is Bible 101, okay? So I was teaching this in a group formerly from the church where I come from. And there was a big group there, and we met at somebody's house. And I'm teaching the elementary basic scriptures that will. You want to switch over to the next one? Next for Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings of Christ. Okay, so this is the word of Christ that is being taught here. It's not my word. It's not Paul's word. It's the word of Christ, the oracles of God. Okay, so the number one is not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works is what King James or New King James says. Repentance from dead works. So the stuff that we do really is not related to what God wants to do in your life. You're just kind of doing this stuff on your own, okay? And then the next thing is instructions of cleansing rites. What King James and New King James says, the doctrine of baptisms with an S at the end. So what does that mean? There's more than one baptism. There's baptism in water, and there's baptism in the Holy Spirit, okay? So baptism in water, I'll have you know, is the dunking because it's the confession of your faith that allows you to be baptized. And you're dunked in the water and you die with Christ and you're raised with him. So that's the baptism we're talking about. Then we have the cleansing rice. Then we have number four is the laying on of hands. Do you know that nowhere in the whole Bible is taught about the laying on of hands? Jesus never instructed us about the laying on of hands. And yet, here it is in the basic doctrine. So how do we learn about the laying on of hands? Pastor told me this morning in the prayer, he said, I have never heard anybody preach on this before. And he's never done it before. And I'm not sure if I can, but I'm going to try. Because so many things that we learn are learned by example. Somebody just asked me the other day in this building, said, so where did you go, which religious college did you go to? Where did you graduate from? Well, I've been to several colleges and I taught there, three of them, but I never went to a college myself to be taught. So what I have is strictly I learned from godly men and women, or I learned it right from the scripture. Today I'm going to try and share some of that. So the laying on of hands is a doctrine that I had never ever experienced in my whole life, and I was kind of born and raised in the church. So when I was a kid, I remember the war was still on, and my parents were Christian, and they taught me to pray. Do you know that no matter where I went or what I did, I always talked to God? When I was 16 years old, we couldn't go to school. We had to go to work. We were an immigrant family. And here I am, peddling milk with a horse and wagon, starting work at 4 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody on the street. My horse knows exactly where to go. Sometimes I even lay down the back and put my head on his feed bag and have a little snooze while he takes me to the first call, right? But you know what I remember mostly? I'm standing in this wagon. And I'm actually raising my hands and singing. I have no clue what the words are. I'm singing in words that I don't know where they came from. Nobody ever laid hands on me. I'd never seen that before. You see, Jesus laid hands on lots of people, and he prayed for them, and they received healing. But he also did healing where he wasn't even near the people. When a Roman soldier came along and said, you know, I have a servant who was ill, and, you know, can you come and heal him? And Jesus said, we'll go there. And he said, no. He says, just say the word. And Jesus said the word, and the man was healed. So the laying on of hands is important, but sometimes, like Susie said here this morning, Susie, it's important for us to be here and support you and just stretch out our hands to you and to your friend who was hurt in that bus incident. And it's really on your heart. And if it's on your heart, it should be on our hearts. So our pastor prayed for you already. And so God bless you as you continue to pray for that young man that he be healed.
And it should
have happened. That's
right. Yeah.
They should have made reconciliation before any of that took place, right?
Yes.
Okay, now I lost my place. So the laying on of hands not is always, that you actually touch that person. But when you're here and we talk about the laying on of hands, it makes a big difference to the receiver. We were in a prayer room last night, for instance, and all of a sudden the pastor gets up and he lays his hands on me and prays over me. This morning in a prayer room, you know, I'd said to the people that, well, I'm preaching about laying on of hands. And I just get up and I sit down on the table there and I said, come on, let's do it. because I know these people in the prayer room are filled with the Spirit. The laying on of hands itself does not have any magic. Has nothing to do with that. But it has to do with your spirit and God's Spirit working in you. And something happens that transfers. So if you're not, if you're here, and you're only here because, well, you got to be here, then when the call comes out to lay hands on somebody else, you should be seated. Or if you want to come up, get prayed for. You understand what I'm saying? It's God wants godly people who, you know, that doesn't mean that everything's perfect in your life. But your mind is on Christ to bless that person. And you're not coming up here to do it just because it's a thing to do. Okay? So then when I was getting a little bit older, I was going by this bakery on a regular basis, and I thought, this might be a good place for me to have a customer, because we're all looking for new customers, right? So I go in, trying to give the guy a pitch. I'm only like 17 years old. And the whole thing changed around because he gave me the pitch. And he told me about his church, a Pentecostal church. And he said they pray for people to be anointed and they get healed and they worship in the Spirit. And he was telling me all this stuff. I was flabbergasted. I never heard of anything like this. We didn't do this in my church. We were Christian Reformed. Oh, you guys missed that one. Whoa, wake up. Well, you know, that just wasn't done. And so I listened to him. I was so excited about what he was telling me that I went home and I told my dad. And my dad was excited the other way. And he said to me, "Don't you ever go near that bakery again." Now, you know, now I'm 17 and I'm still in my father's house, you know, and in my culture, we obey our parents. Then after I got married, we went on a tour on a holiday, and we ended up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to attend Catherine Coleman's meeting. And the people were lined up for blocks to get into that building. And I saw a spiritual meeting that I had never seen before. That woman would walk on the platform, just raise her hand like that, and about 200 people would drop to the floor. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm not just talking about one or two. I'm talking about hundreds of people. And a lot of people think she had a healing ministry, but she didn't. She had a word of knowledge. God would tell her what he's doing, and she'd say, "Up in the balcony there, you've got cancer in, you understand?" And she'd call it out, and guys, people would stand up, and they'd come out of there, and they'd get blessed and healed, and because she was just obeying God. So the oracle of God is very important, that when God speaks, our pastor asked us this morning to take time and listen. Listen to what God is saying to you. That's very important. So when you come to minister or you go to speak to your neighbor, whatever it is, you are giving the oracle of God and not your own version. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Few people agree. So I'm in trouble. My business isn't doing too well. My marriage is pretty well down the tube. And I'm saying to God, "What's going on? I've been a Christian all my life, and there's got to be more to it than this." And I went on a search. As a matter of fact, my late wife was so worried about me, she called our pastor here's the word she used, because he told me this. He said, "Your wife called me and said, I better have a talk with you because she says you're going off your stick." Well, I was on a search. And I knew it had something to do with God. And I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit because it wasn't taught in my church. But the Holy Spirit somehow got the word to me that there was a place for me to go. And I went there. And these people all had their hands raised in worshiping God. And I know the scripture. I know what it says in Romans. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world. And you see, where I was at, I thought that was the way of the world, that they, you know, they all stand to worshiping God, you know. And somehow, God got a hold of me during the week, because I said, I'll never go back there again. And he got a hold of me and said, you need to go back there again. Now, I don't know how he communicated that with me, because I wasn't in the habit of talking with God that much. So I went back. And I signed up for a Life in the Spirit seminar. And lo and behold, about the seventh week that this seminar was on, the whole community fasted. And we went and they prayed over us. The laying on of hands. First time I ever experienced it in my life. And they didn't just offer a little prayer. There was guys standing behind me, and they were moving around the whole group. There was a whole group of us, and they hung in there with me. And they continued to pray for me. This went on for over an hour. Finally, God released me in my tongue's language. And after that, I realized, man, I've had this for years. I didn't know what it was. So somehow God baptized me in the Holy Spirit when I was singing in my milk wagon. You hear what I'm saying? So there's different ways he can do this. But when you're in this place, the laying on of hands somehow takes what's in your spirit and contributes to the person you're praying for. And as these guys were praying for me, you have no idea what was going on in my spirit. Was all kinds of stuff. I was going over what's happening here. Well, God was moving in my spirit to change me inside out. So the laying on of hands right from the beginning had such an effect on my life that I'm telling you, at the time, I was the president of the Langford Business Association, which I actually started, which is now the Western Community Baptist business community, what do you call it, the Chamber of Commerce. And anyway, so we had a speaker at our annual meeting, and it was at the West Wind Hotel, and the speaker was a politician, and I'm going to tell you what the topic he spoke about. The ENN Railway. They're still talking about it. This was 1976. And he used God's name in vain from the podium several times. It just went through my spirit like a dagger. And when he was done, I got up and I said to the audience, you elected me as your president, and I just want you to know that using God's name in vain from this podium is a no-no. And if it happens again, I will ask the person to step down. They applauded. They applauded, but the word got out on the street, and I know it because they've told me, Ike's got religion. At that time, they used to call me the mayor of Langford, so there you go. So politically, I was very much involved there. But I didn't get religion. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know why? Because it's the power. Jesus said, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit a couple of nights before that, I had that power, and it came through the laying on of hands. So I'm telling you from experience, this works. Yes, it does. This works. And so when you come today and you come to lay hands on other people or the laying on of hands, expect. That's another word this morning that came in the prayer room. Expect God to make a difference. Expect Him to answer prayer because that's what He wants to do. He wants to answer your prayer. So relationally, I feel that we're going with restoration. We're going, I'm thinking that God wants to restore relationships here this morning. Now that could be in your family. That could be with people who have left us. You hear what I'm saying? That could be your neighbors or people you don't like that much. Last night when I was going home, the Lord laid on my heart somebody that I'm not too fond of. And the Lord says, you got it all wrong. And so I'm driving my SUV and I'm doing the repentance thing. And I'm saying, God, forgive me. Please let me minister, even though I have these thoughts. I ask you to forgive me. But you see, when I do that, that brings me into right standing with the Father. Okay? So now that I'm talking about the Father, you've got the scripture there from Colossians. And our pastor is doing a whole series on Colossians, and he's asked me to do one of them. And I'm talking about see that that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy that depends on human tradition. God loves those who help themselves. No. God helps those who can't help themselves. You see how the world just kind of turns that around? Don't listen to that stuff. Okay? And there's stuff that is being taught or not taught in the scripture, you know, and if you don't understand it, maybe you want to talk to somebody. But there's a lot of stuff in the world that kind of pulls us away, and we go in with their tradition. This clearly says to you, don't get involved in that. Keep yourself clean. Depends on human tradition and the elements of spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Next verse. For Christ, or in Christ, is the fullness of the deity bodily in Him. So what happens when you give your life to Christ? Where does He reside? In you. In you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He says, we will make, I'm talking King James here, okay? We will make our abode in Him. Abode is such a strong word. We used to use that in the criminal code, you know. Abode or these are strong words. And it's, a man's abode or a man's, is like his fortress. And the criminal code actually wrote it in there while it's actually a common law from England. Okay? It's not written, but it's a common law that everybody knows. Man's is his castle. So I walk into a situation all the time, but this is one, and it's actually somebody who goes to the same church as I do, and he's a school teacher, and he's an alcoholic. I probably will. Otherwise, I'm going to be a dry speaker. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. So I'm the officer on duty, and I go there, and he's in his house. And I can, his wife and his kid are there, and they're scared. And the laws were different back when I was a cop. And I really couldn't haul him out of there because he's in his home. Well, you know, there's a trick to every trade, right? So I get into an argument with him on purpose. And I start backing out towards the door. And I keep agitating him, and he's following me out until we get to the sidewalk. Okay? But you got to remember that the abode that the Bible talks about is here. And when you, when Jesus said, we will make our abode, that means he lives here. And so when you do your ministry talk, the abode actually is your temple, okay? And that's where God is, in your temple. And you need to take time to go in your temple on a regular basis and meet with your Heavenly Father. Meet with the Holy Spirit and say, what are you saying to me today? Edna, I see you sitting there. You know, there's a woman who's traveled all over the world and brought the gospel. If you haven't read her, seen her book yet, talk to her. It is fabulous. I couldn't put it down. I read the whole thing in two sittings. And I have a great respect for her because she has dedicated her life to ministry, her and her husband. As a matter of fact, at one time, they were part of Church of the Way, and her husband actually pastored the church in Souk before I was there. Were you there when they were pastoring there in Souk? No? Oh, okay, you'd already moved on. No, you came later because I came after them. Okay, well, I'm just so glad that she's with us. And even just sitting on the pew there, you know, it gives me anointing because I know what she's like. She just encourages, you know, by her spirit. And so this morning when we said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that's an encouragement not only to me to know that you have come in the name of the Lord, but to each other. Because the rest of the congregation knows that you are here in the name of the Lord. Yes? Amen? Amen. Is that good? Yeah. I rejoice in that because that's what it's all about. Don't be walking around and complaining about all kinds of stuff, but be in the Spirit and find out maybe that person has a problem that you can minister to. And you might even lay hands on them. You might even say to them, can I pray for you? Now, you may not put your hands that way. You may just put your arm around them. I was reading yesterday. I wanted to do a little research on the laying on of hands. And it was actually a doctor who did some medical searching in this. And they had these mice. They take a dozen mice and inject them with a certain cancer. And they did this for a long time, and within 12 days, they would die. Every time they did it, in 12 days, they would die. You know what he did? He put his arms around the cage every day for about 2 hours. And his mice lived more than triple the time of the others. So that's the world doing this. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you want the laying on of hands this morning, just come right up here. Reconciliation is the key word here today. If you have some other thing that you want prayer for, just come up here, and we'll bring other people up to lay hands on you and pray for you. Can we have the musicians come back and just play for us? Jesus, I pray in your name. God, I pray in your name that the words that were spoken will take a hold. Take hold, Lord, in our lives every day. that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us to places and people that need to receive a blessing. Because, Lord, blessed are we when we come in the name of the Lord. Bless us, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?